Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Today we're going to talk about a pretty controversial subject, which is secession. I have a feeling, I try to keep these live podcasts to about a half an hour, and I have a lot to cover here, so I'm going to try to stuff it all into a half hour and we'll see how it goes. There's a lot to say about this topic, obviously. Before I get started, though, again, I just want to remind people to like and subscribe to the channel, let other people know about it, give good reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you might listen. There was some question somebody asked me for on Spotify, and the podcast is on Spotify. So if that's where you listen to your podcast, feel free to listen to it there and give your comments there and your reviews there as well. Okay, so like I said, the topic today is secession. I think this is interesting, the growth of support for secession over the past few years. About 5 years ago, I wrote an article on my personal blog arguing for the breakup of the United States. I think I called it, I have it here, the United States of America, Too Big to Secede. And it was interesting. This was during the 2016 presidential election. I think it was May of 2016 I wrote this. And I had no support. Basically, among my friends, among people who read my blog, which are mostly conservatives or libertarians, I had almost nobody supported. A lot of people thought it was heresy to suggest this. And that was 5 years ago. Then a year ago at Crisis Magazine, I wrote an article called The Catholic Case for Secession, ? And that was in December. So this is after the 2020 election had occurred in November. And I wrote that article basically saying why Catholics should support the idea of secession. And I got a lot more positive feedback. So in those 4 years there was a lot of changes that happened where people became more and more supportive. And I think this year, I'm recording this in November of 2021, I think there's already a lot more support than there was even a year ago for the idea of a secession or a national divorce. I think a lot of people are calling it a national divorce. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And I've seen it now both on the right and the left. We've seen it a lot. Okay, first of all, libertarians have been supportive of this from the beginning because they just believe in smaller and smaller government. So obviously breaking up the United States would support that. But conservatives have become more supportive of it over the years. As we see, we've been losing more and more the cultural wars, so to speak. In fact, we had an article at Crisis last week about the cultural war has been lost. Now what? By the former editor of Crisis Magazine. That was very good. And so, like I said, the right has been becoming more supportive of it. But I think it's true that also the left is now becoming more supportive of it. You see Sarah Silverman, for example, who is a mouthpiece for the establishment left, if there ever was one. She recently brought up this idea of a national divorce and in a supportive way. And so I think we're seeing the fact that support for the idea of breaking up the United States is definitely growing. It clearly was a very fringe movement for a long time, but it's becoming less and less so. In fact, there was I'll pull up a poll here. If you're watching, you'll see it. The University of Virginia Center for Politics did a poll in September 2021, and they made the statement, the situation in America is such that I would favor a blue or red state seceding from the Union to form their own separate country. And they delineated this between Biden voters and Trump voters. The percentage of those Biden voters who agreed with that, either somewhat or agreed strongly, somewhat agree with it, 41%, strongly agree with it, 18%. Among Trump voters, it was 52% somewhat agree and 25% strongly agreed. So we have there the majorities who basically they somewhat agree with the idea of states seceding from the Union to form their own separate country. This was, again, in September 2021 that poll was run. So we clearly see a growing movement of people who are supportive of the idea, at least in theory, and we'll get to the practical in a little bit because I know that's where the rubber meets the road. At least in theory, the idea of making the 50-state United States no more. Now, before I get into this in more detail specifics, I do want to mention something about terminology. The term secession is a dirty word in America. And it's obvious why it's a dirty word, because the one time there was a actual secession happen in this country was, of course, during the Southern states in the 1860s, who seceded from the Union. And I know there's a lot of debate about how much slavery was part of that. Slavery was clearly part of that equation. But the point is that it led to the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln would not let them leave. He basically said, you do not have a right to secede from the Union, and we have to keep the Union at all costs, even if it means the bloodiest war in American history. And by the way, the Civil War is still the bloodiest war in American history to date. And so basically, secession was in the common, most people's minds, secession was caused by slavery and led to war. So clearly, it doesn't have a lot going for it in the American mind, the idea of secession. And I get that. So the word is a dirty word in American politics. Now, I will say that's unfortunate, because if you look at world history, secessions do happen peacefully, and they're not related to racism or slavery or anything like that. Look at the breakup of the Soviet Union 30 years ago. A number of countries, states left the Soviet Union, formed their own countries again, and there wasn't any violence associated with it. And it's happened in other places as well. Other countries have seceded countries have broken apart and had parts of them secede without violence and no connection to slavery or anything like that. So secession by itself is not necessarily, does not have to be violent. It does not have to be something that causes war. And it's obviously should not be connected in most people's minds with slavery. Now, another term has become more popular recently, probably because the word secession is so bad, and that's national divorce. I've heard this a number of times in this year, particularly a national divorce. Now, I just want to say it's a sad state of affairs for a culture when the term divorce is actually a more palatable term for the populace, is actually a more marketable term, that divorce is considered a more positive thing than secession is. But yet what it is in the common mind, the idea of divorce is something, oh, these two parties have irreconcilable differences. We should just let them part and live instead of forcing them to live together and be in conflict all the time. And that, of course, is the common idea of divorce. Now, of course, as Catholics, we know divorce is immoral. Divorce is evil. I had a podcast about this a couple months ago about divorce. God hates divorce. But there we're talking about marital divorce, a sacramental union of a man and a woman for life. Here we're talking about a convenience, basically, of how states are put together and how peoples are put together under one government. And so there's nothing sacred about the 50-state United States. There's nothing sacred about our union, in the contrary to a lot of evangelical Protestant ideas about the founding of our country. There's nothing sacred about our country in the sense it hasn't been ordained by Christ to be the 50-state United States for all eternity or anything like that. So I don't have a big problem with the term national divorce. If it's what makes people accept or see it more clearly, okay, I'll be fine with that. I'll accept national divorce. But I just think that's kind of an aside, just something I just wanted to bring up was this idea of national divorce or secession. They're really interchangeable, and one seems to be more marketable than the other. So, but why is there been this shift to get more and more people supportive of the idea of breaking up the United States? I think there's a lot of reasons. One, I think the election of the presidential election of 2020 is a big one, especially in the minds of conservatives who believe that election was stolen, that Trump actually won and Biden didn't. Now, whether or not you think that is true or not, and I don't actually have an opinion in the sense, I don't know, I should say. I do think there was clearly funny business that went on with that election. I don't know if that means, if it was such that Trump really did win, except for the funny business. I don't know that. That was never proven. As much as Trump and his people said they'd prove it, they never did. But the point is clearly there's a good reason to distrust our electoral process. And the fact is, even before this, in a federal election, your vote didn't matter. I'm sorry, but in a presidential election, your vote does not matter. I don't care what people say. One individual's vote does not matter. And then when we see that it's very possible these elections are fixed, then clearly your vote doesn't matter. And that gets people very much distrusting that system. And they clearly think we have to change something radically. They're more open to something like secession. Obviously, the COVID has probably been the biggest thing that's caused this, because we've seen different states act differently. And really, this is the first time in my lifetime, at least, and my lifetime is considerably longer than a lot of people's these days. The first time in my lifetime that I've seen states truly as different. I mean, yes, we always know California is going to be different than Montana or something like that. But where we see major policies that affect the common man, the individual person, in such radically different ways. Because the different COVID policies, between, for example, like Florida and New York, we see a very big difference. People start to say, wait a minute, if Florida can be so different than New York, why is it part of the same system? Why does it have to be under the same country? Because they're acting very differently. If South Dakota is different than California so much in how they live, maybe it doesn't make sense to force them together into one union, because they really are acting like different countries in a lot of ways. So I think that's something that has caused a big shift. I also think big tech censorship has done it. It just has caused people to be very frustrated. There's only one narrative we're allowed to say. We're being forced to say one thing and only be allowed to hear one thing. And I think that causes people to want to look to more radical solutions of what we can do. I also think, in general, there is an increased division among us regarding what it means to be human and what it means to be happy. You see this in, for example, the transgender situation, when we're not allowed to call a man if he wants to be called a woman. I mean, the whole thing on Twitter, suspending any account, somebody said that Levine guy is actually a guy, not a woman. I'm probably, you know, hopefully I didn't like just kill this YouTube channel by saying that. And I think also another example of the increased divide is we see the popularity of the Let's Go Brandon slogan. I mean, the thing is, this is a hilarious thing. I'm not going to say what Let's Go Brandon means. This is a family podcast, but you can look it up. But the Let's Go Brandon thing is hilarious, and it really was funny, and it would have died out probably pretty quickly if the left hadn't gone so crazy about it. I mean, I saw somebody who said that the Let's Go Brandon slogan is the MAGA version of the Sieg Heil. I mean, talk about just over the top, but that shows the vast difference between the people of this country, between people who chant Let's Go Brandon and the people who think that's literally like the Sieg Heil that you would give to Hitler. I mean, that's how ridiculous we've gotten, how divided we come. And imagine two people, let's say, I'm not going to use divorce like marriage, because, you know, as Catholics, we believe something different about marriage, as I said. Imagine two roommates, though, who are living together, who have these opposing views, and they fight every night about it. Does it really make sense for them to still live together? Doesn't it make sense for them to just simply say, hey, let's go our separate ways. I'll go get my own apartment, you get yours, and then we'll both be happy apart. I mean, it just makes sense. And I think we're seeing that more and more. And I want to read something to you. This is from a pamphlet by Bob Murphy about, it's called Common Sense, The Case for an Independent Texas. So this is somebody from Texas who's arguing for Texas seceding from the Union. It says, there are now two Americas, each with its own distinct ethical system, news sources, and version of American history. In a free and tolerant society, two separate nations could coexist, as the bumper sticker implores. But the modern United States is not free and is certainly not tolerant. The two Americas hate each other with a growing passion, and if unchecked, the hatred will soon escalate into widespread violence. Left-wing progressives still recall in horror the mob of January 6th and are amazed at the acceptance of transgender individuals as meeting such resistance, when they view it as obviously the 2020s analog of the civil rights struggle of the 1960s. They are dismayed by the unwillingness of so many of their fellow Americans to take the most basic of precautions to reduce the death toll of a global pandemic. They find it very telling that the same people who argue that business should be able to refuse service to gay couples does not think those same businesses should have the freedom to set their own mask and vaccination policies. On the other side, right-wing conservatives watch in shock as the country they knew disappears. Stories appear daily that would have been inconceivable a mere decade ago. A medical school professor apologizes to his students during a lecture for saying the phrase, when a woman is pregnant, thus implying that only women can become so. A typical peer-reviewed article argues, whiteness is a condition one first acquires and then one has, a malignant, parasitic-like condition to which white people have a particular susceptibility. Parasitic whiteness renders its host's appetites voracious, insatiable, and perverse. The CIA advertises its inclusivity, and top military brass warn of domestic right-wing militias, while allies are abandoned amidst collapse in Afghanistan. The conservatives are amazed at the reintroduction of segregation in stark defiance of the plain words of Martin Luther King and other civil rights era icons. They're dismayed by the willingness of so many of their fellow Americans to let political officials tell them if they're allowed to go to church. And they find it very telling that the same people who argue her body, her choice when it comes to aborting fetuses, babies, do not extend the same logic to vaccinations. For those refusing to see what is staring them in the face, the NFL has literally begun playing two national anthems before its games. In recognition of the two Americas, there must be an accompanying political separation. I think that wrote, again, that was Bob Murphy. I have a link in the show notes about this little pamphlet called Common Sense, the Case for Independent Texas. And I thought that was very well written. It's the reality. There are two Americas, at least two. I would argue there are probably more than two. But there are at least two Americas, and they are irreconcilable. The two of them do not anymore see eye to eye. We see things so radically different. If we are literally debating what it is to be a man or a woman, and there are two different views of that, then clearly we've gone too far. We're no longer one people. I mean, I don't see how anybody could argue that we're one people anymore. And so something needs to be done about that. And so what should be done is, I would argue, that we need to break up the United States. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of the constitutional case for this, like whether or not states can do this, legal, all that stuff. I think that's very obvious to me, but I understand some people might have questions about that. I would refer you to a podcast by Tom Woods where he talks about this. I have it again linked in the show notes of this episode. It's like it's called Secession, the Constitutional, Historical, and Moral Case. So I would just refer you to that for arguing why secession is constitutionally is legitimate. So I would say because of this reality of two Americas, because of all that's been going on for the past, you know, how many years, I think breakup is inevitable. I don't think it's a question of if, it's a question of when. Will it be in 10 years? Will it be in 100 years? Will it be in 500 years? I don't think it's going to take that long. The fact is, first of all, history tells us every single empire breaks up. Every single one. The American empire is not going to be an exception unless the Lord returns before it breaks up. It will break up. So then we have to ask ourselves, will it happen peacefully or will it happen through violence? Because what we've seen in history is sometimes it does take violence. Sometimes it is violence that causes a breakup. What I think needs to happen, the reason I titled this podcast, the Time for Secession is Now, is because I think the sooner we do it, the more peaceful it can be. The longer we wait, the more likelihood I think it is we're going to have violence associated with a national divorce. And I think instead what we should have is we should have it be a nonviolent secession. In fact, there's a study was recently done, a poll was done, and it said almost 1 in 3 Republicans say violence may be necessary to save America. Well, I would argue let's not bother saving it. That would be my argument. Instead of just saying, you know, let's use violence to save America, let's just not save it. Now we start to get the question of if we're going to have a peaceful secession or any type of secession, what will it look like? I think this is where the biggest arguments against secession happen. I know there are some people who still look at America as a city on a hill and some sacred deposit of faith that we have to maintain. I think less and less people think that anymore. But I think the biggest argument against secession is the practical nature of it. How will this actually happen? How will it be that we actually secede? How will it be that we actually break up? And I think that a lot of people think it would be a red-blue divide, that we'd have our red states and blue states. Now, those of us who are old enough to remember when the red states and blue states, that whole dynamic started. That was in the 2000 election is really where that happened. And the fact is though, and if you look at the red state, blue state map, you'll see that a lot of the coastal cities are blue, a lot of the interior cities are red, but there's exceptions. Like, for example, Illinois is a blue state and it's right in the middle. But what we really, if you really look at it, at the maps, if you look like a county by county map, it's more a matter of every state in one sense is a red state. But yet every state is also a blue state. What do I mean by that? Every state is a red state in the sense that I think every state in the union, the majority of counties are red. Even if they're a blue state like California, I could be wrong about California, but I'm pretty sure even California, the majority of the counties are red. But what happens is the people are, of course, not evenly distributed between the different counties. And so you have a lot of people, the blue people, so to speak, the liberals, they live in the big cities. And so they're congregated in a smaller area. So geographically, there might be more counties that are red, but you still have more as many people, like in a place like California, more people who are blue. So I'd say every state in that sense is got at least a decent amount of red. But I'd also say every state is blue. And what do I mean by that? I mean, the fact is that the federal government, no matter who is in charge, is a force for blue, a force for liberalism, a force for the left. So even though you might have a state like Texas, which is red, it is influenced and it has to do things based on what the federal government tells them. And even under a president like President Trump, it still has a blue influence over the country and over these states. So I would say that basically every state is either dark blue or light blue, anywhere from between dark blue and light blue. And again, like I said, it's not like our votes count in a national election. And so the federal government has this effect on everybody. So how is it that we could divide up the country such that we could go our separate ways peacefully? Now, there's a lot, I was doing a little research for this, and there's a lot of different possibilities. One person who did some research in this, he had some different maps, and I'm forgetting his name, and I didn't write it down. I apologize. Maybe I'll try to put it in the show notes later. I'm putting up on the screen, and for those who are just listening, I'll explain it. He has a couple different ways we could potentially break up. For example, he says, if we broke up into three regions, we could have the West, the Heartland, and the Northeast. And basically, the West would be from Colorado west. The Northeast would be Virginia and the Northeast, and then also include Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan. And then everything else is the Heartland. So from all the way North Dakota down to Texas, over to Ohio, West Virginia, North Carolina, down to Florida, not including Illinois, of course. Another way he mentions is a four regions. So we have Pacific, West, North, and South. In this way, the West, the Pacific would just be the three Pacific states, Hawaii, Alaska. The West would be basically Montana down to New Mexico, over to Kansas. The North would be all the way from Minnesota over to Maine and down like through Ohio, Virginia. And then the South would be essentially what the Confederate states were, all the way including Texas. Five counties. Again, just break it up some more. You break up basically the West into two regions, into the plains, so more like Nebraska through Texas and Louisiana, and then the West would be Montana, New Mexico, and then a six country split. We split up even more, so you have Pacific, West, Great Lakes, Atlanta, Southeast, and Plains. Now, the specifics of this, I mean, I think you know all of those. Like for example, let's just use this six region where we have the Pacific, which would be Washington, Oregon, California, Alaska, Hawaii. Obviously, that would be a super liberal country right there. The problem is this guy breaks it up on the map. He breaks it up by state lines. However, the people in eastern Washington, eastern Oregon, northern California, they would not want to be part of this. So I think the idea of breaking up the union on specifically on state lines, I think that's a flawed idea, first of all, because these state lines were created many years ago and many things are different now. So for example, like Illinois is a blue state, but that's because of Chicago. Everything south of Chicago and Illinois is much more red than it is blue. And like for example, in Texas, you have Austin, which is blue, but the rest of the state is very red. So I think this idea of using existing state lines, that itself is flawed. But I think even if we did this, you could see a big improvement over what we have now, where we have the Pacific state, for the state of United States Pacific, whatever you want to call it, of those five states. If you live in eastern Oregon or eastern Washington state, you can move to Idaho, you can move to Nevada, you can move to Montana, where things would be a lot better for you. Likewise, in the Northeast, where that'd be very liberal as well, from Maine down to Virginia, I mean, that would be a super liberal area as well. And some people in Pennsylvania might not like that, or upstate New York, but they could move. Same with the plain states from Texas. That would be obviously a very conservative area. Same with the South. I think the area of the Great Lakes, Ohio to Minnesota, would probably be in the middle, kind of a purplish area. But the point of this is simply to say, yeah, there are a lot of different ways that we can, a lot of different possibilities how the country can be split up. And it wouldn't necessarily have to follow a strict red-blue delineation, state delineation. I think we could have lots of different ways that it could be done. And I think it would take some time. Yes, it would take some time. Now, the number one argument often I hear that comes up is national security. If the United States was no longer the United States of America, the most powerful nation in the world, wouldn't that basically, the two boogeymen that are brought up, wouldn't that empower China and Russia? Now, I mean, my views are not the conservative mainstream view of foreign policy. I think that the vast majority of our foreign policy is awful. Whenever we intervene in foreign countries, we always make things worse and we kill a lot of people. And so the idea of us being a weaker global power, I think, is a good thing. If we're not all getting involved in messing around in the Middle East all the time, I think that's a good thing. And so that's the first thing. Secondly, I don't think people recognize how difficult it would be to invade the United States of America. If we're talking about like an invasion, for example, it would be as difficult as it is to invade Russia. Look what happens when Napoleon or Hitler or somebody tries to invade Russia. Just geographically, it just isn't plausible, the idea of China, for example, sending ground troops and invading America. It just wouldn't happen. Now, could they bomb us? Sure. But there's no reason why they couldn't bomb us now, first of all. But there's no reason why we couldn't have a treaty between the various new countries that are formed by the United States to protect each other. And if for example, if something happened where Texas was bombed and the plain states is bombed, the southern states could come to their defense or something like that, or attacked or whatever. So I think there's reasons why we could have it broken up and it wouldn't necessarily kill our national defense. Same thing with free trade. We could have free trade between the different new countries of the United States. It's not like all of a sudden we have to put up borders in which we can't trade with each other. And so I think those type of things. Now, if we don't get along and we don't trade, well, I think countries then could, you know, find other trading partners. I mean, the free market works great. That if a country really wants something and they want to import something, they'll find a place where they can import from. So, for example, if California, the Pacific states, refuse to trade with the plain states, which includes Texas, okay, fine. Then the plain states will find other trading partners. I mean, that's the way it works. So what will happen is some other country will step up and say, we're going to do that. So, for example, if the Pacific states, which would have a preponderance of the technology companies, although, you know, with Elon Musk moving to Texas, I think that's going to happen more and more where companies are going to leave California. Well, they're going to crop up other places, because if it's not worthwhile to have a business in California in the Pacific states, well, you're going to set up a business in the plain states or the Northeast states or something like that. So I think there's a lot of reasons that it could work together. I mean, it's not like countries haven't been trading and setting treaties with each other for all the beginning of time. So we could easily do it now as well. So I think it is, usually when I hear practical arguments, all they say to me is, yes, that is a hurdle, that is a challenge, but it's not like it prevents it. And so if we want a peaceful secession, a peaceful breakup, rather than a violent one, because what's going to happen, the reason I say we're going to have a violent one if we keep putting it off, because what's going to happen is the people in power, which, let's be honest, it's the left, and it will always be the left, no matter who is the president. They're going to continue to put their boots on our necks and crush us. And the longer they do that, the more people will get frustrated, the more they will get angry, and the more they will be tempted to use violence to get that boot off their neck. And honestly, it could come a time in future years where it's justified to do that. I don't think that's the case today, but it could be justified one day. And so why not say, let's just break apart peacefully? It's like I said, the two roommates who are, one's blue, one's red, they're fighting each other all the time. If they continue to live together, there's a decent chance they will actually come to a physical altercation. They will actually fight each other physically instead of just arguing with each other. So why not just move to separate apartments and just deal with that? Now, and like I said, there's other things that could happen in a breakup, practically speaking. For example, who gets all the nukes? I mean, obviously that's a real question. But I think honestly, again, that can all be negotiated. If people are on board the idea that, hey, I can live my way. So like the Pacific states can say, we can have COVID lockdowns 24/7 because that's what we want. Well, they're going to be willing to give up some things in order to trade that right that they get to do that. And so same with Texas, they're able to say, hey, we're able to outlaw abortion, for example, in the Plains states. We're going to give up some things in order to be able to do that. So again, with negotiation, that can happen. Now, one thing I would say, though, is, I titled this, The Time for Secession is Now. Now, honestly, I know secession isn't going to happen right now. It's going to be a long process. But what I am encouraged by is that I think the process is starting. You see that with the moves people are doing to get out of certain states and moving to other states, to more free states. So for example, people fleeing California, like Elon Musk moved his operations from California to Texas. See lots of people moving from New York to Florida, for example. I think those are good things. Those things support and will and further the cause of a national divorce. Because what happens is, hopefully the red states get redder, the blue states get bluer. I mean, I don't really want the blue states to get bluer, but they will. And so what happens then is there's more of a idea that, hey, listen, we don't get along. We're not part of the same country. It's stupid to fight every 4 years over this country and act like it's the end of the world for this election. Let's instead just simply go about our separate ways. And so I think the idea that one thing we can do is right now to further the cause of secession is consider the idea of moving. If you live in a blue state and you're a red person, you might want to look elsewhere. I mean, I live in Ohio. I live in a blue county in Ohio. Ohio is technically red, but we had a very weak, we have a very weak rhino governor. And, you know, it's not like we're super red. Well, I'm not guaranteeing I'm going to live here for the rest of my life, because I know if things start getting a little bit more and more blue here, I might have to go somewhere else. Already, my taxes are ridiculous because of living in a blue county. And right across the border, I live very close to the border with Indiana. If I lived about 15 minutes to the west of me, my taxes would decrease by about 80%, I think. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. And of course, there's a lot of other reasons other than taxes, although that's a big one. So I do think that movement of people is a good thing, and it starts the process. And in fact, one thing I would argue, if there was a national divorce actually happen, there should be some type of like 5-year grace period where people can move between the different new countries without any type of penalties or anything like that, no borders and all that stuff. And so people can basically go to the area that they want to go. They can go to the country they want to go, and they can settle down, and they can have a little time to say, okay, what's my new country? So for example, if I'm in Ohio and I'm going to be part of the Great Lakes Nation, I could start to see how it's going, how things are going. If I feel like it's going the wrong direction, I can move somewhere else without any, negative consequences, tax-wise or anything like that. Because eventually, I think countries would eventually say, yeah, there's borders now. You can't freely come in here. So for example, the Plains states might say, no, people from the Pacific states can't move here. We're not going to allow them without a lot of background checks and things like that. I mean, that makes sense. So anyway, so I think really that's one thing we have to do. Now, I've already passed the 3 minutes, but I see there's a lot of comments in the chat. And so I'm going to try to go through them a little bit and see if there's any questions that I can look at and read. Let me see here. Okay, let me see. Only women can get pregnant. Yes, that's true. What happened? Somebody asked what happens to the nukes? And I did address that. I mean, honestly, I think that's just something that has to be negotiated. What happens to the nukes is that, for example, if there's decisions going to be 6 countries, maybe the 6 countries share them equally. I know they're in certain geographic locations, so there's some problems with that. But I just think that's something where it has to be negotiated. And people would be willing to give up some things for other things. And so obviously, I think every country would probably want the nukes. So let me see. What other questions? Let me just see. Yes, okay. Yeah, are not the red states only marginally more red than blue? It seems you need to break up each state in order to avoid repeating history. I think that, Daniel, that's a good point. Yes, most red states are only marginally red. I mean, there's a difference between a red state like Ohio and a red state like South Dakota, for example, or Texas. Actually, Texas, I think, is becoming more blue as well. And I think that is very true. And that's why I don't think a breakup would necessarily just be along state lines. I think the state borders would also have to be redefined as well. Somebody said, okay, Anthony says, if we break up the union, the blue areas would use every institution they control to make life hell for red areas. Well, the whole point is that there's different, there's red areas and blue areas. Are you saying that like red areas in a blue state, I assume maybe? Yes, you're right. That's exactly what would happen. And I don't disagree. So if you live in New York, which I think Anthony does, and you stay there, when a breakup happens, your life will be worse as a conservative, as a conservative Catholic. And I don't claim otherwise. But here's the truth is, your life is getting worse anyway. Our lives as conservative Catholics are getting worse every day. And so the idea that it would get even faster worse, that's not really the way to say it, in New York that was its own country is true, but it could potentially actually start getting better in other areas. For example, like Texas or something like that. And so to me, I feel like it's very clear from history, from the past, especially 50 years or so, that America on a whole, it's getting worse for conservative Catholics everywhere. And so why not just simply say, let's make some areas better for conservative Catholics, and while other areas, we just have to give up and say, yes, they're going to get worse. Anthony also says the Constitution would be out the window and they'd have free reign to strangle us out. I think he's talking about the same situation. Absolutely. The Pacific states or the Northeast states would definitely write a new constitution that would be far worse than our current one. But the fact is, our constitution is a joke right now. It's not like the left needs the constitution. It's not like the left is held back by the constitution today, except for just maybe a little bit. I mean, they get whatever they want anyway. The rule of law is whatever they say. So why not go ahead and give them part of the geographic country we have now to do whatever they want? And then we'll take back part of it and we'll do what hopefully what we want. So, somebody mentions in Texas, Austin, Dallas, Houston are blue. There's a massive influx of Californians, not all conservatives. That is very true. And that's why I think let's start to break this up so people can really say, okay, I'm going to go to a new country. I'm going to go to a country that's going to be based on my values and what I believe. Pennsylvania is the blue state. I live in Pennsylvania. Secession would be a slap in the face to our founding fathers and the world would be laughing at us. I've heard this argument as well, that the idea that the world would be laughing at us. I don't care. I mean, who cares if they laugh at us? Why do we as United, who cares? Like, for example, does Switzerland care if people laugh at them? No. Why do we care what the world thinks about us? That it's not something I really care about, whether or not the world thinks highly of the United States or not. What I care about is living in a society that is free and that allows the practice of my faith and protects unborn babies and those things. I don't live in one of those countries today. So I want to make it so that I do live in a country like that. Well, it's already been proven I can't make the United States do that. So why not make a part of it like that? Break it away and make it that way. And secession be a slap in the face of our founding fathers? I actually don't think so. I think it would be following the founding fathers. Listen to that Tom Woods podcast. Because the founding fathers, if they saw what the United States was like today, that's what's a slap in the face to them. When the 13 states came together in the United States, they saw themselves as 13 basic different countries that were coming together to form a union for a purpose. Well, Abraham Lincoln threw that out the window. And so the idea is that the founding fathers definitely would have supported the idea that a state could leave the union, because those states, when they joined the union, they did not see it as they were giving away their rights as states. They saw it as joining a union of people against a common enemy for a common good. Well, we're no longer at that point. So I personally would think that secession is in keeping with the founding fathers, what they really want to be. Here we go. The risk is California being broke invites China to forego their debt as long as they can have a base in California, which is exactly what they're doing today in African South Pacific Island nations. Andy, that's a great point. Like, I can see what could happen is that the Pacific states, let's say, you know, Washington, Oregon, California, they would be such a disaster, such a mess that China could slowly take over. And I think that's a real possibility. But honestly, I still think it's not like if that happened, it's not like all of a sudden they could take over then the plain states or something like that. I still think that our country is large enough that the idea of some type of invasion just isn't going to happen. I mean, it's just not. And so therefore, I don't think it's really a problem to go ahead and allow these states, if like a Pacific states falls apart. I mean, they're already dragging down the rest of the country. So Mary asks, I'm just going to go long on this set one because we've got a lot of great questions here. So what about the Constitution and Bill of Rights? How would secession affect those? Basically, each country would set up their own constitution. And so my guess would be a place like the Plain States or Texas and Oklahoma, places like that, they would keep the current constitution as it is pretty closely. I would think also you could see that in the southern states. They might strengthen it in certain areas where there's maybe not as strong. They would have courts that would interpret it more precisely, more accurately. But a place like the Pacific states would throw it out the window. They would just create their own constitution that would be nothing like ours, what I think. So I think that there would be no constitution and Bill of Rights United States because there is no United States anymore. So each of these new countries would basically would do that. So when the person said, please talk about the way forward. Please talk our path forward. We need guidance. And this is where I'm saying that the I think what we do now is we make a determination of where we're living currently. Is it a place we think that could be a stronghold for what we believe in? If so, make it stronger. Build your community where you are. If it's not, if you live in California, consider moving to a different state where you can live that way. I think that's the main way we do it. And build your local community. Last week when I was talking to Joseph Pierce on the podcast, we talked about localism and building your community. I really believe that's the path forward in a lot of ways. And I think that's one of them as well. Okay. So yeah, actually, this is a great point. Somebody mentions before the Civil War, it was the United States are, and afterward became the United States is. That's a very good point, is that talking about our founding fathers again, the United States was a plural. It meant a multiple entities that were united together in one for some reasons, but they were still their own individual states. So these United States are, now we say the United States is, as if it's one union. We don't even think about the states as much as we used to. Okay, so another one is, violence is not the answer. Imagine how many people will die because of secession. It'll make all wars the U.S. have been in like look like a normal argument. I can't wait for a great secession memorial. Well, I agree. Violence is not the answer. I think we can have peaceful secession. Again, the United States has a unique history in that our one attempt at secession led to war. And I think you could argue that Abraham Lincoln was the cause of that war because he would not let them secede. And he said, I don't care how many people we kill, we have to keep this country together. It doesn't have to be that way. It wasn't like that in the Soviet Union. They broke up, the country seceded from the Soviet Union without shots being fired. So definitely, I'm not advocating for violence, and secession is not connected to violence. Okay, so, I see a lot of comments from people basically saying it's not doable. America's enemies will be laughing at us. Yeah, okay, I don't care if they really laugh at us. I think right now, it's obvious America is on the wrong path, going the wrong direction. And we need to put it in a new direction. We've seen from the last election and from a million other ways, the fact that you can't even say a man is a man anymore, that we can't course correct. It's not like our votes will all of a sudden, if we just vote for the right politician, that all of a sudden now America is going to be great again. That's just not going to happen. And so I think what has to happen, my opinion is, we have to build up these strongholds in various areas and make it so that we can break apart peacefully and break apart into different unions and be part of one that we can really have an impact. Right now, you're one of over 300 million people. You can't have much of an impact. But think about if you're in a state, let's say Texas alone secedes by itself, and you live in Texas, you can have a lot more impact there. Living a faithful Catholic life, voting for good Catholics, people like that, is going to have a lot more impact on a state level than it would on a national level. Okay. I have gone long. I really appreciate all the comments and the questions. Hopefully I address most of them. And I do appreciate that. It's obviously a controversial topic. I know not everybody supports the idea, but that's why we're here to talk about these things. Okay, well, I'm going to call it there. And until next time, everybody, God love you.